Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then... You get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, it is Spooptober. It is time to get together with our patrons and talk about spooky stuff again. And I'm excited because we've got a full house here. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast. This is Tom or Robots. And we're going to welcome in everybody who is joining us today to talk about really spooky stuff in Fallout. So I'm going to read out everybody's names. And then on the count of three, I want you to make the sound that correlates with maybe the spooky thing that you're going to be talking about. Here we go. We've got Pumpkin King. I'm going to mess up your... can I say V01D696? Is that cool? To call you that? Darth Odin, Conman, Nova, AK Spartan, and Lil Green joining us on the count of three. Get ready to unmute and chime in with your spooky sound. Here we go. One, two, three. That was spectacular. If I entered a room in Fallout and I heard that, I would wonder what was going on, because I don't think I've ever heard that combination of sounds before. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is exciting. We are talking about your spooky moments in Fallout games, in any of the Fallout games. Feel free to bring up anything from this place was super creepy, this storyline in this quest was really disturbing and it kept me from falling asleep, to I had a jump scare the first time I ran across this thing and... you know, I peed on my couch or whatever. You know, share as much personal information as you'd like. Who would like to start us off? Who would like to kick us off? Who has a really fun story about a spooky moment they'd like to share? I'm just going to stare at everybody. All right, Darth Odin has a hand raised. Darth, welcome back to the show. What is your spooky moment?
You know, it's been a very big toss-up. I've been thinking about it all day. But the first time I bumped into Mothman... in Fallout 76.
Okay, yeah, tell me about that, because Fallout 76 cryptids, but then Mothman specifically is kind of, I mean, there's different kinds, and then they're kind of mysterious. You might see them at a distance. Sometimes you see that actually put in the game are places that look like Mothman eyes as seen from a distance. That's not actually the Mothman. Like, the designers did that on purpose, so they knew they were going with something spookier. What's your story?
I think I was playing 76 with my brother or... a friend of mine, and we're just, you know, going along. All of a sudden I see these couple right out of there. Now I thought it was like the berries that you pick up for that looks very similar. But all of a sudden I hear this.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wait, what the fuck happened? Pardon my language.
That's fine.
I looked behind me and it was, what's the aggressive one? The one with the red eyes?
Oh gosh, the wrathful Mothman. I forget all the names.
Yeah, it was wrathful. I swear, I almost cracked myself seeing this thing.
Did you attack it? Did it attack you right away? Did it just kind of blip around a bunch? Like, what happened?
It blipped around a bunch, and then I tried to attack it, and then it just vanished.
Oh, it disappeared. Yeah, sometimes they don't even stay and fight; they'll just like leave. Yeah,
it was. I mean, I was going to go with like a glitch that I found in New Vegas, but I was like, no, Mothman seems like a better term.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, my own experience is very similar. One popped up. My wife and I were playing. I think I've told this story before, but yeah, one popped up and like started like disappearing and then landing in different places. And it turns out it would have been peaceful. It was the one of the peaceful ones, but like we shot at it and then we had problems. But yours just like disappeared. It just like spooked. It was just scary and just like went away. How long between seeing him and coming across another one was it? Did you come across another one soon, or was it like you just didn't see one?
I
want
to say another 8 hours, maybe.
Okay, so yeah, a considerable amount of time. Because after you meet something like that, you feel like, oh, well, I'm going to see another one. Maybe like these are out here. When am I going to? And then 8 hours go by, and then finally you see another one. I kind of like that the experience is kind of limited, you know. That's pretty cool.
I would say the next one was a peaceful one. It had the green eyes and everything. So I'm like, okay, I know not to shoot this one because green means good.
Yeah, I don't remember if the green one... I know the wise one is purple, and that purple one doesn't attack, right? Like, feel free to chime in. Remind me about this because it's been a little while since I've thought about all the different Mothman colors. What's the green one? Do you guys know?
So the green one is the peaceful one. I don't remember what it's called, but the purple one is the wisdom, the wise one.
Right.
Usually see with the event.
Right. And that one isn't necessarily, even if you come across it in the wilderness, it's not necessarily like,
no, if you leave it alone, it'll leave you alone.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So those are the two that are like, you don't need to shoot them because they're not going to attack you. Yeah. Man, that's cool. How do you guys feel about Mothman encounters? Did anybody else have like a similar experience?
Yeah, I very similar. The first time, it was pretty early in my Fallout 76 time, the first time I saw one, I was wandering around Flatwoods. I was maybe like level 13 or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just spamming the VATS button because that's what I do, just to see if there's any immediate danger around me.
Sure.
And it flits over and there's a level 50 vengeful Mothman, and I just went, ugh! And then it teleported away. And in all the time I played, I've never seen another random encounter Mothman that one time. Wow. And it just scared the crap out of me.
I love that it's rare, because like cryptid sightings in general should be rare, right? Like it should be the kind of thing that like, unless you spent the time in the game, you might not have a story about it yet, you know, but like you also don't expect it when it happens. Pumpkin.
So one thing I'm pretty sure is, your first encounter with Mothman, you're not going to fight it. I think they actually programmed it to be that way.
Hmm. Unless you shoot it and then it gets mad.
Yeah.
Or
I guess because like I've had my experience was the same way. It was where just, you know, roaming around vibing, when all of a sudden I turn around and just, you know, like a couple yards away, there's a Mothman. And I just kind of sat there going, what is that?
Yeah. I feel like you might not even notice it the first time, because like if you're just turning and it's like in your view, but you didn't pick up on it visually, and then you turn and go the other way, like, and it's peaceful, it may not come after you. It may just go somewhere else. Right. Like, so you may not have even noticed your first.
No matter what even if you don't shoot at it, it just. Oof,
yeah. Yeah.
It disappears.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, Darth, that's a good one to start us off with, because Mothman's pretty creepy. All right, who would like to go next? We got Conman. Conman, first time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. When we talked about talking about spooky encounters or locations or quests and Fallout, the thing that immediately came to mind, I'm sorry if I'm stealing this from anybody else, is the entirety of the Kriv Bechna and Dunwich storyline in Fallout 3.
Yeah. Yeah. This comes up a lot when we talk about spooky stuff.
Yeah.
This
I had a feeling it probably had. I haven't, where I'm at in the podcast life, I haven't heard any talk about it yet, but I figured it probably was a pretty common topic because there are all kinds of YouTube videos and theories and stuff about it too. It's a big topic in just the community in general.
Yeah. Nate Perkopile is one of the designers that has worked on these games, and I've interviewed him before, and he designed the Dunwich building.
I have a vendetta against him.
And yeah, for me too, it was one of those moments where I worked my way through that building and I was like, this is singularly interesting and dark in a way that some of the other things in this game just aren't, which is pretty cool.
I could have picked out pretty much the entirety of the Point Lookout DLC is just being creepy to me.
That's true.
But that's specific. I mean, everything from meeting Obadiah Blackhall, like all the way through, even if you give him the book, when he then just gets up out of the wheelchair that he's been bound to the entire rest of the quest, like, okay.
Right, right.
And when you go to take the book to the woman and she's dead, she's been killed by the tribals or whatever. Or, no, not the tribals, the
folk.
The swamp people. Yeah,
yeah,
there we go.
Swamp people, yeah.
And it just, but specifically the Dunwich building itself, like I was a kid, like I was probably like 14 years old when I played through this for the first time. And I got lost in that building. I've never had the experience going back to it where it took me that long to get through it. I got lost and was going through the same rooms and the same corridors for hours and could not find my way through that building. And the hallucinations and the flashes were just not doing it for me.
Yeah. Did you read the notes as you went through?
Like, I was listening to all of the
holotapes and like, yep.
I listened to every single piece of it, hearing, I can't remember the character's name, but the guy who you eventually find by the obelisk at the bottom, who, or by the spire or whatever, who like just slowly was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was an extremely unsettling experience. And to this day, anytime I do another playthrough of Fallout 3, if I go through that building, I have to do it during the day. I can't do it. Like, it's internally scarred me. And as a now grown man, I have to. And the first time I did that, like, I hadn't fixed the Galaxy News radio like satellite dish yet, so I couldn't play it. I couldn't hear it that far away from DC.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't have no radio on because just being silent in that building was too scary for me.
Oh, dude, that's my default.
I just had Enclave radio playing because I was like, I need some noise, man.
Oh, see, I go the opposite direction. I turn off all the radio and I even turn off the in-game music, like, you know, the swells of like, yeah, ba-ba, like that stuff, because that I want to hear my surroundings, especially going through something creepy like that. I want to know, like, is there another Deathclaw around that corner? Yeah. Or not Deathclaw in this case, it would be like feral ghouls, but
yeah,
you know, like, what's around the corner? Can I hear it before?
See, having
there.
The music off probably would have been helpful, honestly, because I'm pretty sure like the score that's playing in that building is unique to that like building in that quest line, because it was the ambience of it was just singularly terrifying.
Yeah.
And I can't get that experience out of my head, and I can't go through that quest line. I'll put it off for days. I'll be like, I can do that later.
Does anybody else feel like that? Does anybody else play through that now and be like, well, yeah, nope, or that's still pretty scary?
As the 13-year-old that I was, utterly terrified me. And I think there's a little fact that I found out that it's a very, very minute detail. You actually have to, it's when you enter the building, it's the direction you're facing. Cause when you're entering the building, you're facing south.
Mm-hmm.
But when you enter the building, you're turned north.
Oh, so it automatically like turns you around. So
If you walk in the building,
the building itself is backwards.
Right.
It's not that you're turned around.
Right. But mentally you get turned around. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like this subtle detail to like immediately let you know that there's like something else. There's something weird going on.
And with you talking about going through that, I was the same way. And it doesn't help that they programmed it so that the doors shut themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because like that's an easy way to make sure, you know, you've been somewhere, is to leave the doors open.
And then you also have the objects that get thrown in the building.
Right.
You got like the tea kettle that gets launched at you.
Right. Right. Oh man, yeah, it's such a fun design.
Like, I don't think it would affect me as deeply if I hadn't experienced it in that way when I was so young or so much younger. Mm-hmm. I cannot go through that building.
Or it was the perfect time to experience it because you got like the most creep for being, you know, like at 14. That's a good age
out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, that's of course a classic. Thanks for bringing that up. That's a cool one. Who would like to go next? We've got, I'm just calling you V. V, you're up next.
It's Void.
Void. We'll just go Void with numbers after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the creepiest experience I had so far, because I've only played 4 and a little bit of 76. It was in the the marshy area in 76. And you got all those like tree houses and everything. And then, I went through a town with, I think it was a Miss Nanny. Her name was Chloe or something like that. And then on the other side of that, there's a church on the other side of like this lake thing. There's a church.
And it's like a rundown church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I went in there and there's a bunch of dead bodies and everything and everything's destroyed and, you know, fallout. And then just looking around looting everything, I hear this like groan from what sounds like it's outside. So I'm like looking through the windows, going outside, looking around. And then I go down the hallway, open the door. There's a massive Wendigo right there.
Nice.
And so I went, oh, okay, let's just shut that door.
Just, you're like, nope.
Yeah.
He just noped out. Did he notice you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it noticed me. but I just like gathered myself and went, okay, grab the shotgun. Let's go. And so, eventually
you took it
I
out?
Killed it.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I took it out.
Yeah, because those can be pretty tricky, especially if you're earlier in the game. Like Fallout 76, everybody has been playing it for almost 5 years now, right? We're at the 5-year anniversary. So if you're like level 400 or whatever, it's like, yeah, kill the, you know, whatever, shoot everything. They all die, right? But if you're like level 12 and you come across one of those things, that's a problem. Like that is a formidable foe.
Yeah, I was level 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And I took care of that, and I took care of its little minions and everything, found the priest and went on my merry way.
Nice. Nice. So it wasn't too much of a problem.
No, it wasn't too much of a problem. I kind of cornered it behind the little desk area there.
Did you know that they existed before you came across that one? Or
yeah, because I had just gotten past that episode.
Okay.
Lorecast.
Okay. Because they initially, when you first ran into them, especially if you were picking up the game really early on, they look like just kind of a weird modified ghoul at first. And you're like, okay, what is that guy? Why is that one so weird? Right. And you learn more about them, right? Whether listening to my show or playing through the game and learning more about the different kinds of things in the game. But yeah, initially it's like, what's with that weird feral ghoul? Like, well, I haven't seen one of those before, especially if you played the other games.
So. Yeah, and after I killed it, I kind of got up close to its ragdoll self and just kind of looked at it and went, oh, so that's what they actually look like, because I had only known the audio version from your show.
Uh-huh.
And I looted it and everything, and I didn't know Wendigo teeth were a thing either.
Yeah, okay,
Which that kind of creeped me out too, because I looked at the jaw and I'm like, those could do some real damage.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But they're for eating flesh. So there you go.
Yep.
I'm sure you came across more as you continued to play the game. Did you ever go down in the caves and find the one down? Like there's a whole quest line. There's one down in like this cave area.
So I'm still currently below level 20. This was very recently. So I'm still under level 20, and okay. I think I'm still in that marsh area.
Yeah, there's more to come. You will find more of them. And I hope you enjoy the experience. Maybe they'll be hiding behind a door in a creepy church or whatever. Nice. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on Wendigos and that creepy stuff from 76?
Man, they're still a problem at level 60. Forget level 12.
They're not easy.
They remain a problem.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, I still have trouble, like, for the last time I remember playing, it takes me a little bit to kill them. So I just default to like the shotgun that I have, because it's got some pretty decent perks to it, and it takes care of them relatively quick.
Yeah. Pumpkin?
Yeah, early, especially when you're in that early level, it's definitely terrifying. I remember I had my first experience during the beta, and it was, you know, this was back when the enemies didn't level to your character. They were already set.
You
went to a certain area, they were already level 50.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, in the beta, I had like, you know, I was like maybe level 5. Out in the mire where he's thought, like, in almost exactly where he's at, but further down at an abandoned like radio tower.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hear, I'm standing with just a random that we were playing with, and I just hear, shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. And I'm like, I know what that is, and I'm going to run.
You identified it from the feet sounds? Nice. Nice, nice. All right. We got time for one more before we do our mid break. Who would like to go next? Pumpkin. Pumpkin's got a story.
Vault 22.
Vault 22. Just the entire vault.
Mainly when you first experience the spore carriers. When I was, again, this was like early, I was like 13 when I first played New Vegas. Uh-huh. And I'm walk in and I'm like, oh cool, this is a plant vault, there's just plants in here. Unknowingly, like I this was exploratory, not doing quests, I was just exploring, and I found Vault 22. So I walk in and I was like, cool, this is a really cool place. And then next thing I know, out of the corner of my eye, I see something like turn, and I'm like, what was that? And I'm like, and then that's it finally moves and starts, you know, running at you.
Right, those are like the creepy spore guys, right? Like they're like,
yeah, that's what terrified me.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That, I mean, especially again, you're just the right age to be like super terrified by like creepy monsters coming at you in a dark, broken down vault. Perfect. That vault has a bunch of like weird plants all over the place. It's been a while since I've been there.
It's got the it's got the spore carriers, and then it's got the like Venus fly traps.
Right. Yeah. You come across the plants, and then the plants are dangerous also.
Yeah.
Right. But
then you also have the mantises.
Right. The spore carriers just kind of, they just kind of wander around, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They kind of wander around. They use the same model as the Trog, but they kind of made it look different.
Right.
They covered it in green and then added leaves.
Right. They're like plant trogs. Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. Let's open this up. Do you guys remember Vault 22? Who else has any Vault 22? Darth Odin has his hand up.
Wow. That takes me back. I think I was, how old was that? I think I was like 15 when I discovered that. That would have been 15 years ago.
Yeah, so like, yeah, same perfect age, you know, young teens, everything.
Oh.
Like, I'm brave enough, this isn't going to scare me. Oh my God, I'm scared now, right?
It was just like, oh wow, this is full of plant life. Oh, there's killer plant monsters. Oh, crap. I like, when he said Vault 22, my eyes just like, oh no.
Did you, so this is open to anybody, but Darth Odin, did you ever nope out of one of those situations and just be like, all right, I'm not doing this right now, I'll come back later? Like, or did you just tough it out and you're like, okay, this is creepy, but I'm just going to make it through?
I would say in certain situations I would have toughed it out, but that situation, I noped out.
You just noped out. You just didn't do it. Did you go back and do it later? Did you have to wait till you were older, or just like later on in the game?
Yeah, I had to wait till later on in the game because I think I was like level 12.
Right. Yeah, you get better gear and you're more powered up and able to take stuff out. So from a mechanics standpoint, it isn't as scary when things die faster. Yeah, that makes sense. Anybody else nope out of one of those?
You triggered like a primal like reaction from me when you mentioned Vault 22. That's if I hadn't chosen the Dunwich building, it probably would have been Vault 22, because that's another one that I think we must have had very similar start, like early Fallout experiences, because again, I was like 14 years old. And yeah, that was such a big nope. And again, it's one of those things that it's to this day I go through a process to go to that vault. I make sure I am the proper level in gear, and I get every single quest related to that vault all at once, so I never have to go back there again. I do all of them.
You just make it super efficient, right?
Yeah,
nice.
Because I don't ever want to set foot in that place again. Also, talking about the spore carriers, the really depressing one that you find, that's I think there's only two.
Child.
There's only one or two of them. Yeah, there's one called the spore carrier runt, and in that room there is a baby stroller. So it's implied that that one was a child.
Yeah, yeah. That's, oh, that's so good. I hope, I mean, I posted this on X. We'll just call it Twitter because that's what it is. Starfield came out, right? And Starfield has a very, very mild M rating. It's mostly a T rating. And then there's like drug use or something, right? But I was like, and I mentioned this for Elder Scrolls, but I hope it's true for Fallout, because Elder Scrolls is the next main game they're going to be doing, and then they're going back to Fallout. But I hope both of those series have like a hard M rating, because Fallout and Elder Scrolls are best when they're really dark, you know? Like there needs to be blood, there needs to be creepiness, there needs to be implied like terrible things happening to everybody, regardless of who they are. All of that, 100% for me. Any other thoughts, Pumpkin?
Well, it was between it was between 22 and then Gary.
Yeah, it's scary in its own way.
He took it from me.
Oh, we'll have to get to the Gary vault. All right.
No, you can still use Gary.
You can still talk about it. Yeah.
But I was going to, like, the way I wanted to introduce it, that's it.
Sorry.
I was going to say mine was just like, Gary.
You're just going to start.
I'm sorry.
Like, I had this.
Why do I keep triggering you, Little Green? I did that last month.
You can still do it after the break. You could just immediately say, Gary.
just whisper it
from him.
Yeah, whisper it. What was that, Nova?
So I actually was going to choose 22. Thanks, Pumpkin. I had this entire like whole elaborate like story or like setup I was going to put into it, and then it's like Pumpkin says, "Oh yeah, I chose 22 because there's a scary plant vault." I'm like, Biscuit.
Well, do you want to talk about Vault 22 since we're already talking about it? We can like move into you, and then we can do the mid break.
Yeah, because like the reason I was going to take 22 is specifically because it just like obviously horror and like in the depressing atmosphere. But I just feel like 22 is probably one of the best examples and one of the most depressing scenarios that you can be in. Being enclosed within a airtight labyrinth, basically, where one person becomes infected and basically becomes a zombie, and slowly that spreads throughout the entire population. It starts out simply as a upper respiratory issue, and then you slowly get overcome by a fungus that basically just bypasses your entire immune system and completely incapacitates you, because it inhabits every single part of your respiratory system from your lungs to your trachea. Just imagine the agony you're in doing that. Like, your sinuses, think of how bad allergies are. And now all of a sudden, imagine a fungal stalk growing inside there.
Yeah, I'm sure that doesn't feel very good. But enough about The Last of Us. Let's talk about Fallout.
Okay.
Okay. But no, it's a very similar thing, right? And it really is a potential danger. Like, fungal infections can be real, right? Like,
yeah, it would be, and they are, because like, those are probably the, like, as you said, with The Last of Us, that was going to be something else I briefly mentioned. But I was going to say, this feels to me more like something that you would read in a backstory of, like, the original, like, World at War Call of Duty Zombies, if you read through the lore of that.
Okay.
This just really reminds me of, not Shangri-La, of Shinonuma, personally. And also... The island. I forget what the other one is from Black Ops 3, but like
Zetsubou no Shima.
Yes, just this really reminds me of Shinonuma and Zetsubou no Shima specifically, and like Fallout and Call of Duty, both my favorite games. Like, oh, this is cool. It's not referencing each other, but it's like similar evolution. And I was like, oh, it's fun. Also terrifying. But anyway, so that was going to be my entire spiel. Pumpkin ruined it. Thank you, buddy.
Well, I mean, you make some good points. Like, having infections that do terrible things and make you uncomfortable and in pain and die. Like, obviously that's terrible. But there's also the side of it where you lose your personal autonomy. The idea of something infecting you and taking you over and then controlling you, and you become like a prisoner in your own body in a way.
It really honestly is a zombie scenario,
right?
Like,
it's a very
like
different
of
kind
us,
of
but
one. Yeah. Yeah.
Predating The Last of Us actually by 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
The Last of Us is 2013.
Right.
And this is 2010.
Right. There is a fungal, I don't know what it's called, but it takes over like ants, and it does the same thing with insects.
Yeah,
right.
Cordyceps.
Right. Cordyceps. Like that is a real thing.
And that is The Last of Us.
Right.
Yeah. That's The Last of Us.
Right. So like, but imagine being aware that that's happening to you as a person, not an insect, but as a human being. and not being able to do anything about it like that.
Well,
that's terrifying.
Personally, I think that this, the Buvera Mordekana, is even worse than the Cordyceps because it has to physically kill you first before it reanimates your body.
Well, I would argue that's less awful because
that might be better.
The Last of Us, you're aware that your body is being taken over and killing people, and you can do nothing to stop it. Because like some of the runners that haven't gone all the way becoming clickers will actively go like, no, and like,
or like,
beg
kill me. Yeah.
But also
I would argue going through a painful respiratory death is better than that.
I disagree with that because you're like literally choking on your own breath. While The Last of Us, your mind is being completely warped, and like you have very little like residual brain function, and so you are somewhat aware, but at the same time though, you're your brain is being quite literally eaten alive by the fungus, and then you're
right. I guess it just depends on what you're more afraid of. I mean, it's probably a very personal thing. Like, I personally am more afraid of this. You might be more afraid of that, right?
I guess being in the middle of the country, away from all the oceans, I just have a fear of drowning.
Okay, because you're not close to the water. Weird. Okay. All right. I mean, I live in Florida. We'll be underwater in 100 years, but whatever.
I live on a lake, but at the same time, though, I don't know why I just have a rational fear of suffocation, I guess. It's compounded by that, I guess. So that's why to me it seems like it's going to be an even worse fate because
it's like suffocating, but not by water.
Yeah, you're suffocating because you have a plant stalk growing in your chest.
A
fungal stalk growing across your chest, and you're coughing, you're heaving, you're being eaten alive from the inside out, basically.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. It's fun how often these patron chats just get super dark and gross. I mean, this is the Spooktober episode, but just in general, right? The conversation gets to these places where you're like, oh, that's obviously terrifying.
this is an average everyday conversation with my best friends. What do you mean?
Yeah, right.
We always talk about stuff like this because we're all mentally deranged.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because we all played Fallout when we were 12 or 13 or 14 years old.
They were right. Gaming did ruin this generation.
Yeah. Were you 14 or 13 when you played through that, Nova?
I was 10.
You were 10. Okay. There you go. All right. Yeah.
That tracks. I was born in 1999. I played the game.
That's
actually
even
11.
More scarring.
That's even more scarring.
I actually don't remember. I think I was actually 12, but I saw gameplay of this from The Only Bentley when it came out. At the time, my favorite YouTuber, and he played through the game. He was like, oh, Vault 22. Wow. I was 10 years old at the time. I was like, oh, that's fun. Nice. This is like a great game.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And I begged my mom for the game like the next two Christmases until she relented.
Nice. Good work.
Myself.
Good work. Awesome. Well, tell you what, it's time to take the mid break. We're going to thank our patrons, which is you guys and a bunch of other people. And then we will be back with our last two patrons to talk about their scary moments. So don't go anywhere. Big thank you to our sponsor for today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world taking place in the world known as Temeris. Team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle. A variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Temeris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder orcs, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. Oh, and please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magic artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport, or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Temeris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra,
and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack, set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%, vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, we'll try to make this quick. We've got a new patron over the last week, Damien S. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for supporting the show. And shout outs to all of our current patrons, all 85 of our current patrons, and Darth Mosen, our Liberty Prime, the highest ranking patron. There's only one slot. Darth Mosen has it. Thank you so much for your support and for being here. And then also our sentry bots, Germinator, Larry D, Sky R, and Alex. Oh, I'm sorry. Alex is an assault round. I jumped down the list too far. Thank you to our sentry bots and everybody else who supports the show. If you are interested in joining us for a chat just like this, or for getting some of the new t-shirts or ad-free episodes, a whole bunch of stuff you can get, go to patreon.com/falllorecast and check everything out. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I will read out 5-star reviews in the future. We don't have any new ones this week, but you can also rate the show on Spotify if you listen on there, or whatever podcast you're listening to this on, or if you have friends playing Fallout games and you want to share this, or if you are getting excited about the Fallout TV show coming in April, we've got a date. That's exciting too. So if you're going to be talking with people about Fallout, or you have friends who get into the TV show and they're like, what's this Fallout world all about? Direct them my way. Be like, I've got a Lorecast for you. It'll explain how everything actually works in this crazy universe. So thank you for all the support. All of that stuff helps, and I can't do this show without you. So thank you for being here. All right, let's move on with the rest of the episode.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, we're down to AK Spartan and Lil Green. Lil Green, I see you unmuting. Do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next.
So what happens to be your topic, Lil Green?
Vault 108, the Gary Vault.
Oh, right.
But no, the first time, like, it's just very, very unsettling. Like the first, cause like when I went into that, I was probably 13 or 14. So I was, you know,
same thing. Young, it's like everybody started playing these games when they were like early teens. Yeah.
So, and it's just like, but like at the time I didn't know much of the lore of it. I'm just like in here. I was like, why is everybody saying Gary? This is so unsettling.
Why were the developers so lazy? They used the same character model in everyone.
And then like just reading into like the lore of it, like it just gets even worse. Oh, God.
So what about it is the worst part to you? Is it the fact that you are surrounded by a bunch of Garys?
Yes.
Or is it that like something like that could be possible?
Like, it's also just like just them saying Gary. I don't know what it was about it. It was just like it just got to me.
Okay, so let me kind of zoom in on this a little bit. Is it the idea that they were human beings who have been reduced verbally to being able to only say one word, and they were kind of like a hive mind? Is that scary?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, first of all, that's disturbing, but also if that were to happen to me, oh my God, that would be terrifying. Like that sort of thing.
Yeah. That sort of thing. It's just like, it, like the hive mind mentality of it, and just, and it seems like they kind of lost some of their autonomy as well. So,
yeah, I mean, they only trust other Garys. They're very, yeah. But they also can only say Gary. It's almost like they became Pokemon.
That's horrible, but yes.
Right? I mean, Pikachu only says Pikachu or combinations of Pika and Chu, right? So, like, it's a Gary Pokemon. Can you imagine having a ball and throwing it on the ground and a Gary popping out of it? Somebody needs to mod that into, oh my God, we just invented another mod that has to exist.
Oh my God.
The Gary Pokemon mod. He's a companion, but he only comes out when you toss the ball on the ground. And then you have to say, Gary, I choose you.
Call them Gary Nades.
Gary Nades. Oh, perfect. 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 All right. So the Gary Vault. Anything else about the Gary Vault you found disturbing? Did you just murder all of them? And then you also found that disturbing because you're like, I just murdered all of this.
Well, like at the point, like, it's just like, all right, I want, like, I just kind of gritted my teeth and went through it as fast as I could. It was like, all right, I need to get in and out of this as quickly as I can. Just, and I think at one point I did even like mute the volume, and I was just
like, you're like, enough of the Gary to sound, just like volume off.
It was mentally getting to me a little bit, just because like, all right, like it's because it, you couldn't differentiate like how many were in there from what direction they were coming from at times. And it's just like, no, what? No, I'm just going to hit that and my perception and like, just look at my compass and see where people are.
Oh my God. All of this talk about stuff that showed up in Fallout 3 makes me really hope that like they're remastering it and putting it back out soon. Like that actually happens. Cause it would be really cool to go through that again, but like with modern graphics and, you know, all this extra stuff that they've worked into like 76, but actually working in Fallout 3. That would be great. All right, let's open this up. Who has any other Gary thoughts? Thoughts about Gary?
So you could be scared of Gary all you want, but the amount of the iconicness of that vault still lives on to this day and is even referenced in Starfield.
Yeah, it is one of the first vaults that most people think of when they think Fallout vaults. They're like, oh yeah, the Gary one.
It's the iconicness of that vault and the fact of you just be walking around the vault and in the distance you'll just hear Gary.
Yeah, the voice acting I think is a big part of it as well. I don't remember who the voice actor was for Gary, but like the Gary, like the way you did it, like that, like drawing out, like I'm looking for you, but I'm only saying Gary while I say that. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Anybody else want to chime in about Gary?
There's also that poor Gary you find in the Operation Anchorage DLC that the Brotherhood outcasts just murdered to try and get his pit boy.
I mean, that is tragic.
It has nothing to do with like how unsettling it is. It's just I always think about that. This one poor Gary, I guess, got out of the vault and the outcasts just murdered him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it like Gary 12 or something like that?
Something like that.
It's,
like,
it's an early Gary.
Yeah, but also think of the flip side of that. If you find him, if you do that DLC and find him before you ever like encounter that vault in your first playthrough, you're like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, you don't know the reference until you come across it. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, Lil, this was a good one. Everybody loves the Gary Vault. We're down to AK Spartan.
Yeah, okay. I actually would like to start mine with a quick question for everybody. So how many people have pets? Cats, dogs, anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's got, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about centaurs.
Okay, yes.
I wanted to get the pet thing first. I have an axolotl. I don't have a cat or a dog, but I was looking up stuff about this. I wanted to go last because I thought maybe somebody was going to take centaurs just because like the random encounters and stuff.
And body, you know, horror. Body horror. Yeah, and scary. Yeah.
But I was looking up some stuff. They're created by tossing a variety of different creatures that super mutants can find into the FEV with a person and just seeing whatever the hell comes out.
Yeah, they're just kind of like a blender. They're just, yeah.
They could throw a cow in there, you know, a Brahmin. They could throw a cat, dog, you know, birds. It doesn't matter. They're just having fun with it. Nobody else is. And I remember the first time I saw one in New Vegas, and like they're not that hard to deal with once you kind of get the feel for it. But
you just sidestep the spit stuff.
Awful looking. Yeah. But right. I mean, like, you see it from a distance and you're just like, what? What is that? And then when you learn about what they are and like how they're made, I just feel like that just gets to me, because I remember there was a time too when I was playing New Vegas where I like ran into like a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And like that was creepy too, because I'm like, oh, like they're still like, obviously it's a video game, but like, you know, to me it's like, oh well, like they're are they working together?
Yeah, like, they work like pack animals. That's
yeah,
weird.
like not only are these like mutated, grotesque, you know, cat, dog, human, you know, creations, not, you know, out here in the wasteland, but they're working, you know, they're traveling in packs. They're like wolves or something. I have to watch out for. I mean, it that always got me. I mean. And the like you said, Tom, the body horror of it, like, it's just unsettling. It just gets to me.
Yeah. I mean, you got like the torso of a person stuck on all these extra arms and legs kind of hanging out. But then even like the tentacles coming out of the mouth thing,
yeah.
like there's a lot of little detail in that design that if you look at each of the parts individually, they're all creepy, scary, but then they're all combined into one creature. And it's just like unsettling. Yeah. And if you think about it, like body horror in horror movies in like the late 2000s that's pretty on point, right? Like that,
yeah.
That was kind of a trend for a while. So then they show up in Fallout New Vegas. So that totally
I also
makes
feel
sense.
Like there's no way to keep your sanity as a centaur. Like you never, so nobody gets turned into a centaur and is like, oh yeah, like I can make this work. Like you're gone. Like you talk about losing your autonomy. Like you're probably broken at that point. You're never going to have a free thought again.
Yeah, I don't know that their brains work like humans at that point. I think they're just kind of like animals on autopilot.
I think there is a lore entry somewhere regarding that where like it does like shatter their psyche in some way, shape, or form.
I thought there was something. Yeah, there was some. I didn't want to say it because I wasn't sure if I remembered that right, but I thought there was something about somebody being turned into a centaur and then seeing their reflection and it breaking.
Rings a bell.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that would be in Fallout 1 when dealing with them like originally, or if that was something maybe in Vault 87, I think it is, in Fallout 3. Is it 87?
That's a good question. I don't. Yeah. 87 sounds familiar.
But I did think I remembered that too.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up again. There's all sorts of that kind of stuff in Fallout is so dense across so many games now that oftentimes stuff like that comes up and it's like, oh yeah, that does sound familiar. And what's funny is like you go back like 200 episodes. It's like, oh yeah, I did an episode about that, but that was like 4 years ago. But yeah, you come across stuff like that and you've got to go look back up again. Yeah, centaurs. Who else wants to talk about centaurs? Anybody else find them particularly unsettling? Pumpkin?
So they're terrifying. But if you saw the cut content for 4, you would know that the centaurs were supposed to be there, and they were like 100 times more terrifying.
Yeah, it's and more recent Fallout games have gotten, and I mentioned this earlier, have gotten a little tamer. Like there are weird creatures in 76, but like a Snallygaster isn't as disturbing as a centaur, in my opinion, because it looks less like a person, right? Like a centaur.
And I think that's a creature they need to bring back for 76 is the centaur.
Centaurs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The centaur is being replaced by the. Back. Oh, sorry. I was going to say the centaur is being replaced by the mutant hounds in Fallout 4 was always a huge downgrade to me.
Yeah. I mean, dogs are always kind of a problem in games because they're faster and they're harder to shoot and stuff.
Yeah.
But like they're not as scary for sure. Nova, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I was going to say that the centaurs, like, well, kind of like how AK Spartan was just saying, just the amalgamation of many different creatures into one itself has just its own horror factor, because you do wonder if, like, since they can move all of their arms at the same time, if the nervous system, because obviously the nervous system is going to be connected, then so does that mean all their brains of the cat, of the dog, of the bird, or whatever else goes into it is also functioning at the same time?
Well, that's a good question.
So
are there
overloading?
Yeah, are there multiple brains like moving different parts of their bodies, or are those brains? Is there still just one central brain? Because one of the things they've shown is that human brains have enough plasticity so that if you were to say, attach like Dr. Octopus arms on a person, our brains would be able to figure out how to manage them as extra limbs and eventually, with practice, be coordinated. Like, that is built into our brains to be able to do. So something like a centaur could actually work just using a human brain. But it's also very disturbing to think about, like, oh, there's a dog brain in there somewhere, too, that's moving some of the arms. Like, that gets even more weird.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, like, if the, like, if their psyche was broken because it's multiple different brains that are obviously
competing, like, with each other.
Competing. If that just the mental stress of that is what breaks them, or is it the actual process of going through getting combined to other things, or is it just like
the horror of it?
Yeah, like, or the horror of it. Because, like, I don't know. I'm thinking about it, and just like, because imagine having like a dog like in the back of your mind barking as you're trying to do everything.
That sounds like my house when I try to record some days.
It's in your. I know, because I have my gunny boy over there on the couch, and he barks at birds that fly past the house. It gets very annoying. Yeah. But this would be mentally though.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Inside
absolutely.
Your head, because. Yeah. Like, we don't know how dogs think, honestly. Like, we don't know if they have the same thought process as us, or if they're like vocalizing or if they vocalize their thoughts in the way that we do. And
I would imagine it's
in that same way.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a series of just like images and feelings and like smells and things like that. Like, most people. Some people cannot hear words in their heads. Some people cannot see images in their heads. Most people can. It doesn't mean that people who can't are disabled compared to other people. They just process things in different ways. Like, they'll use different parts of the brain to process words or images. But they just can't see them the way other people can. We, again, all of our brains are different, right? So I'd imagine something like a dog probably recognizes smells, or even can think of a smell before actually smelling the thing, because they're reminded of it or whatever, but they don't actually think the words yummy smell food.
Yes, I know,
right?
I know like the olfactory sense of a dog's brain takes up the olfactory sense of a dog takes up roughly 30% of their brain, and that's what we primarily use in the dog training world in order to get the dog's motivation to do anything like that.
Yeah, but and I'm agreeing with you, that would be overwhelming to a human brain trying to experiencing that coming from the dog brain. Yeah, that would be crazy.
I'm just going down a rabbit hole because I'm thinking it's like, oh my god, imagine trying to think of the way a dog is, but at the same time you're trying to think of the human is, and like, is that what breaks you mentally, or is it the entire process or combination of everything?
That's a good point. Like, it totally
it's weird to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally agreeing with you. Yeah, that just the different ways that you would process all of that just breaking you. Spartan, do you want to chime in anything else about this one?
I think what Nova said about the different brains really kind of just unlocked a whole new level of creeped out for me, because I mentioned the cats and dogs at first, but like I said, I have an axolotl. So like, I'm like sitting here thinking like, I'm going to come out of there with gills. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be a mess. Like, it's going to be a nightmare. And I just, the brain thing, definitely. I thought that was a great point, because I mean, like, I can't get the thought of like trying to form a thought and like the barking, like that's so that would be so annoying.
Right.
Like it,
or all just
times.
All of a sudden the need to pee on the tree you see next to you.
I also like if you're thrown in with a cat, I mean, cats, I feel like the cat mind would just take over, because cats don't even do what people say when they're separated.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, that's just how the cats work.
Cats are freaking smart, man.
Well, they're also psychopaths. Like, you would see the thing that triggers a cat and you'd be like, I have to murder it. And now I have to deliver it to somebody I love and put it in front of them. Like,
murder it slowly.
Right. I'm going to play with it, murder it, and then deliver it to a friend of mine as a gesture. Like, look at the thing I got for you.
Oh no, a glass of water.
What?
Oh my god, there's a cucumber on the floor. Panic.
Right. Imagine if you walk up to a centaur and you have like one of those laser pointers and then the cat brain takes over and then starts chasing the laser pointer.
It chases the laser sight on your rifle.
Yeah. There you go.
Is that how you control centaurs? We've just been doing it wrong the entire time. Where instead of, you know, shoot them with a laser rifle, we have to shoot at the ground with a laser rifle. And they just chase after it.
Right. Send them off into the woods. Just like, get out of here.
Basically.
Yeah.
Chew.
All right. Well, this was a lot of fun. This is another good one, Spartan. It's a creepy stuff in Fallout. It's like, it's kind of a never ending smorgasbord of stuff. But thank you for joining me, everybody. We got to wrap this up and we're going to go back through everyone and feel free to say, like, here's the thing I want to shout out. I'm working on it. And this is how you can get a hold of me or whatever. Or you can just say, hey, glad to be here. Thanks for being here. See you later. Whatever you want to say. Let's just go through in order that I see you guys on the screen. We'll start with Pumpkin King. You got anything going on, Pumpkin?
Well, you can find me, of course, on my Twitter, the Pumpkin The, I think. The Pumpkin King The, with the I's turned into ones and the E it turned into a 3. You can always find me there, or you can always message me on Discord. I'm in the Robots Radio Discord if you want to talk.
Nice. Yeah, there's a bunch of people on our Discord at this point. So, yeah, join us. Join us in there. Thanks for joining us, Pumpkin. All right, Void, you're up.
You can find me on the Discord. My name is the same as it is right here. V01D696. I'm also on Twitch. I'll probably be streaming later tonight.
Awesome. And that's your Twitch name too? That's your Twitch channel?
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. Cool.
All caps.
Go check out Void's Twitch channel. Awesome. All right, Darth Odin, you're up next.
Yeah, I'm going to just be streaming here and there.
Under Darth Odin? Specifically, what's your account name so people can follow you? We'll give it a second. Are you playing Fallout?
Yeah, actually I am. Odin the Hooded One 93. It's all one word.
Got it. Odin the Hooded One 93 for Fallout stuff. And which Fallout are you playing?
Right now 76.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 5th anniversary coming up. That's pretty cool. Awesome. And otherwise, they can reach you on the Discord?
They can reach me on Discord or on Facebook as Ian Hedges.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for joining us again. Con Man, you're up next. You got anything you want to shout out?
Yeah, you could find me on, I have a TikTok at cgoody98. That's all lower cases. And I also have a Twitch, cgoody22. You can find me both of those. I haven't posted a video or streamed in quite a while, but I've got my free time is opening back up here soon. So hopefully I'll be able to be active on both those platforms again. One of the things I had been doing on Twitch that I'd like to get back into was a, Fallout New Vegas hardcore mode One Life.
Wow.
Attempt. So that would be fun to get back into. And, you could also reach me on the Discord, under Conman517.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Nova,
very happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Nova, I know you've got stuff.
Hello, I do. I have a YouTube channel, which is Supernova, capital S, lowercase UPER, capital N, 0, capital V, capital A. Look for the golden retriever icon. I just posted a video not too long ago, 5 days ago, about the sociopaths. The scientific sociopaths of America and the Fallout universe. Nice. So it's a video like that's just the catchy title. It's a video specifically about the unethical scientific corporations and the defense contractors of pre-war America. It's probably going to be an ongoing series over the next few months or something like that. But first entry is about West Tech, Volt Tech, and Big NT. I'm working on a video tonight. I'll be working on a video about Sunset Sarsaparilla, and so that would be what I'm going to be posting next. And nice. So I'm very excited. Yeah,
nice. Sunset Sarsaparilla.
Hey, Sunset Sarsaparilla.
That's every time I hear the name, I have to say it in like an old timey like prospector voice.
Oh, give me like, some Sunset Sarsaparilla.
So funny you say that. While Odin was talking, I was rehearsing saying it like that.
Were you?
Ironically, I'm sure. I'm going, Sarsaparilla, but I couldn't get it to the tone I wanted to, though.
Yeah, it's the only way you're supposed to say that. Yeah, awesome. Well, go check out.
After Sunset Sarsaparilla video, I'll be posting a video about the Navy, about Air Force and Coast Guard. So that would be a follow-up to a previous video I did a couple months ago.
Cool. Supernova, yeah. Right?
Supernova? Yes, sir. Supernova. I'm also in the Discord. Hit me up there if you really want to, but I tend to not really check it all that much, but if you do send me a direct message, I should respond within a couple minutes.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for joining us. And then AK Spartan, you don't have anything going on, do you?
I don't think I actually have much going on. I'm definitely on the Discord, and people can hit me up there for my Battle.net. I've been playing a lot of Diablo 4, but I actually am also the newest member of the Rocket Club.
What?
And yeah, Tom, you didn't know that, did you?
Oh, I just found out right now. I totally didn't know.
I totally slipped my mind too. Yeah. No, but yeah, so that is something I'm doing. I know that I've talked a lot about maybe streaming some Elden Ring, and I'm coming at you with the Elden Archives, a From Software Lorecast. So that's what we're cooking up, and I'm excited to get that going. That'll be coming up with the first couple episodes pretty soon, and I'm excited to get that going.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited for that too. That sounds like, honestly, that was something I had considered if I was to branch out and do other shows. I was like, Elden Ring lore is pretty cool. Maybe I could do something about that. But I'm glad you decided to pick that up, because now I can just listen to it and I don't have to make it myself. So that's cool too. But yeah, good luck with that. And I'm sure you'll fill us in next time with more details.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. And then Lil Green, wrapping us up, Lil Green.
Gary.
Oh no, he found the sound clips. Oh no. I saw that grin on your face and I was like, he's up to something.
Nicely done, sir.
Thank you. All right, but well, everybody could always either find me on the Discord. I'm, I think, just Lil Green on there. Or if you want to see some of the stuff that I do photography-wise, you can look up Lil Green underscore photography on Instagram. I got a couple things I'm just always forgetting to put out. So, yeah, no. And I might be joining Pumpkin King sooner or later on Fallout 76 with his shenanigans.
Nice. Nice. Shenanigans, always welcome.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, good luck with all that. And thank you, everybody, for being here. These are always a super fun, so thanks for joining me. And you know where my stuff is, robotsradio.net for all the different shows. Starfield Lorecast is going well. Elder Scrolls Lorecast is still going. Got all budget content for you to check out if you're interested in any of those other games. So thanks for being here. I'll be back next week with another regular episode. But until then, stay safe out there, because there's a bunch of spooky stuff out in Fallout. And we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.